AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Dangerous winter weather stretching across much of the country, with more on the storm that stretched across most of the states. Here's ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano.
At least five fatalities in the storm zone. Falling trees killed two people near Atlanta, Georgia, including a 78-year-old man crushed while he was driving. And one person dead and two critically injured in Claremont, North Carolina. The state hammered by the brutal storm. Parts of Winston-Salem submerged. In South Carolina, a twister wreaking havoc in the city of Bamberg. Piles of bricks littering the streets. Harriet Coker's roof is ruined.
There's still a lot of damage. It's going to be a long cleanup.
State of Iowa, where the presidential race officially kicks off next Monday, with caucuses getting snow, ice, and wind. The temperature expected to hover around zero on caucus day. Sources say that former President Donald Trump is insisting he will deliver part of the closing statements himself in his civil fraud case tomorrow. This is ABC News. Impeachment hearings open today on Capitol Hill, with Republicans looking to boot Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas out of office.
The Homeland Security Department issuing a memo saying that Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas's impeachment hearings are, quote, politically motivated and led by extremists. Republicans insist the Homeland Security Secretary didn't do his job in keeping the border secure. Secretary Mayorkas saying Congress did not give him the resources to do that.
That's ABC's Andy Field in Washington. Federal food aid is now expected to help feed about 21 million kids this coming summer. The Department of Agriculture says this summer EBT program designed to fill in the gap so kids don't go hungry when they're not in school. And for those taking part in Dry January but for some reason still want the taste of a beer in your mouth, Miller Lite has you covered. Available on Friday, Miller Lite Mints, $5 for a tin of 40. They combine the taste of Miller Lite along with a little pop of mint. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wet, heavy snow fell in much of southern and eastern Wisconsin until late on Tuesday. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells Jane Mattenier that 40-mile-per-hour winds will keep driving hazardous until the snow ends.
When you get underneath one of those snow bands, you'll see some snow accumulating a lot quicker out there, making it harder for the plows to keep up with. But they've been doing an awesome job so far. Mm-hmm. I've been checking cameras across the state. Hats off to you guys.
Wet, heavy snow is causing some power outages. Governor Evers says he's having a hard time finding a new Department of Natural Resources secretary. The Republican-controlled state Senate fired 8 of his appointees to different boards and commissions last fall. Evers says some candidates he's considered tell him they don't want to put their families in that situation. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
College basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles hope to get a win tonight as they host Butler. Marquette has dropped to 11 in the AP Top 25 after losing 2 of their last 4 games. A big upset last night in the Big Ten. Nebraska at home beat number 1 ranked Purdue 88-72. That's the first time the Cornhuskers have beat a number 1 ranked team since 1982. Badgers on the road tonight. They take on Ohio State. NFL, the Packers and the Cowboys Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Matt LaFleur with praise for Jordan Love. leading his team to the postseason his first year at quarterback.
You know, his family did a hell of a job raising him in terms of just what he's all about. Great things are in store for him.
The New York Jets had a losing season after Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles tendon. He had this to say after meeting with his coaches.
Some things in every organization, and we did this for 18 years in Green Bay, the exit meetings are important to just get everything on the table that's happened, flush the bullshit that you need to move forward, and then refine your focus moving forward.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy with some light snow developing by late this afternoon. Our high today, 30, with wind west becoming south at 5 to 10. More light snow tonight. We could get an inch or two, maybe a little more in a few spots by the time it ends late tonight. Our low 23. Tomorrow, cloudy 27. More measurable snow is on the way Friday into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. News Talk for Homan on Alaska and, of course, La Crosse. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Indeed I am on this Wednesday, January 10th, 2024. It is 7:06 here all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Nice to have you along as we bring you the latest from Up North News, which is a separate entity from Civic Media. You can find the work that we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. That includes a daily newsletter. You can head to that website, sign up for our newsletter there. This morning's newsletter from Christina Laurie has an emphasis on some of the ways that Wisconsin lifestyle made national headlines. Also, things to know about your house, the housing market. There's a proposal by President Biden to turn some empty office space into housing as the whole nature of the workplace changes in our post-pandemic era. So for that and more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and sign up for our newsletter over there. 7 o'clock temperatures around Wisconsin go like this. Some of them have ticked down a degree since the last hour. It's 27 up here in Chippewa Falls, 26 in Hayward, 26 in Park Falls. Wausau, you're at 30 degrees. Green Bay, 31. La Crosse, 30. Wisconsin Rapids, 30. Oshkosh, 32. Madison's at 31. And in Waukesha, it's 28 degrees right now. And so while there's not a big range in temperatures, there was a big range in snowfall. And to tell us more about the storm that went through and what's still coming up yet for chances of precipitation over the next day or two or three, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Brittany, good morning.
Good morning.
Didn't you have a busy 24, 36 hours here?
I sure did, and it's not stopping now either. We've got two more systems headed our way. One is minor tonight, and one is a little bit major once again as we go into Friday. So let's recap a little bit of yesterday's storm. The hardest hit areas were definitely into Grant County, Sauk, Iowa, Lafayette, even into Crawford and Adams and Dane as well. So Muskoda coming in with a foot of snowfall being reported there, Mineral Point at 10.7 inches, and of course, even places like Oshkosh getting over half a foot of snowfall, 6.8 inches reported there. So we're still looking at snow reports coming in as everybody wakes up this morning and takes a look at all that fresh, heavy, wet snowfall. We had slushy roads, icy intersections and turns, and accidents out on the highways. So just a friendly reminder of how to drive in the snow once again, because this is just the beginning. So today, we're going to stay mostly cloudy. We'll be in the low 30s for a majority of us, slowly ticking our temperatures down to the upper 20s for tomorrow. So what we're having is mostly cloudy skies today, calmer winds, thankfully, but a shot of snow pushing in, mainly up to the north. That'll push in after 6 o'clock, down to the southern half of the state. That'll be after 8 o'clock. We are looking at a trace to about 2 inches in the northern half of the state. And the target, of course, down back to the south in towards Madison area. Once again, unfortunately, Prairie du Chien, you could get another 2 to 3 inches overnight tonight And this all winds down early tomorrow morning. And then we've got another system headed our way for Friday. Right now, it's looking to take the same exact track, kind of do the same exact thing. So we'll get into more details about that one tomorrow. But another heavy hitter of nearly a half of a foot to potentially a foot in some places on Friday.
Well, I mean, you can't go through all the work of, you know, getting your snowblower ready and gassing it up and everything if you're not going to use it, right?
True. So, I agree. Yeah. And it gives the stores a little bit more chance to stock more sleds in for the kids, too.
There you go. Right. And let's again, and you emphasized it, but let's emphasize again, a lot of this was wet and heavy. When moving it, if a snowblower is not in your future, if it involves a shovel and your knees, really use the knees.
Yes, absolutely. You know, 100%.
Can't have anybody needing attention for a heart matter or a chiropractor or anything like that. It's snow, you know.
Yes.
All right, Brittany. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and joining us now is Bryn Horton. We have a homeroom segment every Wednesday, and we talk to folks from the Wisconsin Public Education Network, other educators, other folks who are interested in making sure that we have the strongest education system possible in the state of Wisconsin. And Bryn's going to talk to us now a bit about the role that the Wisconsin legislature can play in that, for good or not so good. Bryn, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good, thanks. So, Bryn, tell us a bit more about the work that you do to help ensure that you know, folks who are advocates of public education are well informed on what our leaders are doing.
Sure. So I currently work part-time for Wisconsin Public Education Network, and I am mainly the legislative tracker. I keep our legislative tracker that we have linked onto the website as update and accurate as possible, so that members of the public and our partners can see what legislation is going on. You know, we're currently tracking over 200 bills on that tracker. So as you can see, through that large amount of numbers, it's hard for just anybody who's out there on the regular daily basis to be able to keep track of all of that information. So we hope to use that tracker, and we keep track of what bills are happening and what bills are upcoming for committee hearings, and try to send action alerts out for people weekly so that they can see what's going on in the legislature.
And it's good to know that, because, again, most people don't follow the Wisconsin legislature. Many people don't know who their legislators are. And yet the legislature plays perhaps a bigger role in education as almost anything else, certainly more so than the U.S. Department of Education. And there are things that school boards do, but it's the legislature that really carries a lot of that power. And a lot of the ways we look at the legislature come through the prism of the state budget, something that's done once every 2 years. And that sets dollar amounts, but almost anything else can also be taken care of by the legislature throughout the course of the year in the area of you know, policy, rules, restrictions, requirements, add this, don't do this. And so what you say, like 200 some pieces of proposed legislation out there that you have to track. On behalf of public education, that sounds rather daunting, but can you kind of triage it for us when I say, what are the kinds of things likely to come up on the legislature's radar as they get back to work this month?
Well, I would say, one, it's going to be a busy couple of months, because usually they wrap up their session in an election year by March is usually what they're hoping for. Representative Voss is usually the one who kind of controls that timing. I would just want to touch a little bit on what you said, too, like, as we have bills that are tracking as little of as having an ice bath available on school properties during youth activities to the literacy bills that passed earlier or in 2023 that became Act 20 that will affect how teachers are teaching literacy in our schools. There have been new bills that have been popping up. One in particular that was actually supposed to have a committee hearing yesterday, two in particular, about decoupling the private school voucher and the independent charter voucher funding from the regular school funding into general fund funding. So those are two really big ones that we'll see committee hearings probably get rescheduled since they were pushed yesterday because of the weather.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. And again, this is something that can appear complicated to a lot of lay folks pretty quickly. And so I want to pause it right there and just kind of explain a little bit of the backstory here. The voucher schools program, often referred to as school choice, but the voucher schools program that helps fund private, often religious schools with your tax dollars, with Wisconsin tax dollars, the way that Republicans have set up the funding mechanism of the voucher system, it is very tough to nearly impossible for the property taxpayer to tell how much a voucher school system is costing them, because it all goes through the public school district first, and then, you know, the money doesn't stay with the public school system. It goes to the voucher schools. But the property taxpayer sees a dollar amount and says, oh my goodness, my public schools are costing me so much money, when that's not necessarily the case. So there's a couple of ways you could go about doing this. One would be truthfully labeling on the property tax bill, here's how much voucher schools are costing you. But this other proposal says, well, let's just remove it from property tax rolls and put it through general purpose revenue, the big pot of tax dollars that everybody pays in. There's good and bad points about that in terms of transparency, Bryn, right? Because, I mean, do you then really find out what the cost of these voucher schools really is if they decouple it? I would argue it's still difficult to tell what the price tag would be.
Oh, yes, I would say it definitely is. It's hard enough when it comes through the school system, and that's because it comes off the top of every school district. And so I feel like it's very hard for people in individual school districts to see how much that's costing them. And then if we just take it out of education completely and it becomes part one more line item on a budget that's hundreds of pages long, is that going to be able to be easily seen by people who aren't paying attention, right? I mean, we do know that the legislature is, it's very important, but it's, I think, in my own opinion, made very difficult for regular people to be able to participate in that process.
Yeah, very much so. That, again, you could just as easily break it down, have that transparency right on the property tax bill to say, and I'm also glad you said it the way you did, that it's basically, my word, skimmed. It's skimmed right off the top, where you may think public education is getting this much money, but this certain amount goes right to voucher schools, and then public schools basically fight over, you know, what the rest of it is. And so anything that would increase transparency would be a good thing, but there appear to be more efforts than ever to, shall we say, decrease that transparency. And so Bryn follows that, and like she said, literally hundreds of other things that could go through the legislature in pretty short order here. Bryn, can you stick around after we take a little pause here and talk more about what you're tracking?
Sure. Yeah.
Appreciate that very much. I got just enough time to squeeze in just a little bit of sports before we take a pause here. And then to remind you that coming up at 7:30, we've got Congressman Mark Pocan, who is going to be joining us. It's not just the legislature that's getting back in action, but Congress as well. So we'll get a little update from Washington, D.C. The Badger men's basketball team, 15th ranked in the country, is at Ohio State tonight. You can catch that across the Civic Media Radio Network on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, news from the center in Richland Center, Lake Erin Amory, and WRJN in Racine. The Marquette women's basketball team is ranked 23rd in the nation, and they beat Seton Hall last night 75-54, and the Marquette women return home to host DePaul on Saturday. Badger women's basketball team hosts Northwestern tonight. The Marquette men's basketball team hosts Butler tonight at the Fiserv Forum. More with Bryn Horton coming up next on our homeroom segment on Up North News Radio, wherever you're listening, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be back in just a bit.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwaba, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 8 to 10. On Eagle 1490 WLCX.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Jim Croce should be turning 81 today, but unfortunately we lost him short of his 30th birthday, the singer-songwriter who had several big hits in the early 1970s. This is the anniversary of his birth. Hey, Courier Newsroom, the parent company of Up North News, has no shortage of ways that you can stay connected, not just through Up North News, but through a series of newsletters from some of our great correspondents, some of whom are our guests right here on the radio. That would include our Friday friend, Mark Jacob, who has a weekly newsletter about how right-wing extremism has exploited the weaknesses in American journalism and what we can do about it. There's also newsletters there from Kia Vakil, from Carolyn Fiddler, Kyle Tharp, Melissa Ryan, and more. Head over to couriernewsroom.com and learn a bit more about that. Bryn Horton is with us now. We're talking about the Wisconsin Public Education Network's effort to track legislation because, again, most people don't pay attention on a day-to-day basis to what the Wisconsin legislature is doing, and nobody likes surprises, and there's no shortage of things that some of them get picked up by the Capitol Press Corps. Others may not get attention until they're well into the committee process. And, Brent, it's not just legislation that the Public Education Network tracks. It's referendums. We talked about referendums a week ago and again right before the holidays, and we're really getting into the season where there's an opportunity, shall we say, to track the many referendums that school districts have felt like they need to go to the voters again to raise the funds necessary just to keep the lights on.
Yep, and we're starting to work through that process. I know this year will probably be an unprecedented year for referendums because as the legislature passed not that long ago, there are restrictions on when school districts can go to referendum now. It can only be a previously scheduled election. It can only be, if it fails at one point in the year, it can only go to referendum again a second time in the year. And so that first election is coming up at the end of February for a primary, if districts have primaries. So just really starting to get started in on that process. DPI also tracks that information, but we will be making sure that we have information and getting a hold of districts to see if they need help. That's one of the things that the network provides is help for districts who are going to referendum.
Yes, and it's something that we, like I said, we talked a bit about it before the holidays. We will most certainly be giving a full list of them as they come in on some of our future homeroom segments, but I just wanted to lay out there the many things that the Wisconsin Public Education Network does. But getting back more to your legislative tracking, we talked about a couple of big ones. Again, you said there's so many there. Can you give us one or two other examples of the kinds of legislation that some senator, some assembly representative has put in that may or may not get a committee hearing and work its way through the process?
Yeah, sure. I have seen what I think is good is a variety of bills who are trying to figure out how to help our teachers stay in the system. How can we make sure that we are recruiting good teachers? How are we making sure that those teachers are sticking around past the 5 years that it seems to be the average that teachers are starting to leave now? And I've seen bills on that from both sides of the aisle, which I think is good. It just doesn't seem like anybody has come up with anything that everybody can agree on. I've also seen a couple bills come through for fixing things so that we can get retired teachers back in to teach if necessary, without the restrictions on their retirement. I've also seen one pop up just recently for civics education in the schools as well.
Okay, we'll come back to the civics education in a sec, but I want to come back to teacher retention for a moment. When you said finding something that all parties can agree on, the thing that all parties should be able to agree on, in my view, are pretty easy. Stop dumping on them rhetorically, you know, end this war on teachers and start paying them what they're worth. And what I see, in my opinion, are too many legislators who are trying to bend over backwards to find any little incentive other than actually paying teachers what they're worth. And in terms of addressing the labor shortage, we see this not just in education, but we hear this from Senator Ron Johnson and others saying, well, all we need to do is get these retirees out of retirement and get them back into the workforce, which again is insulting for people who have put in a long career and have earned their retirement. You want to put the squeeze on them or some kind of incentive to get them in? I mean, again, I appreciate, Bryn, that you're tracking these bills. I'm just going to make the case as well that, you know, there's another way. And that's to pay them what they're worth. But you say that there's incentives out there. Is there anything? Are they specifying anything in this legislation that would get those teachers to stay or get those retired teachers to come back in?
I think the main one I've seen for the retired teachers is just to not put the restrictions on their retirement. I believe right now it's they can't work over a certain number of hours in a certain time period. Otherwise, they can't draw on their retirement while they're working. And then the Democrats had a slate of bills that came out that I don't think will probably ever receive hearings. But one of those was to set a minimum teacher salary that was equal to what the state legislators were making, which that is kind of sad right now that there are a lot of districts that are not paying teachers or aren't able to be able to afford to pay teachers what even the state legislators are making.
That's a great idea, because I know that the legislative salary is just north of $50,000 a year, and the prospect of some of our teachers not even making what a state legislator makes, especially as you said, some of these legislators on the Republican side, they're going to bring the gavel down in March and go home and campaign, but they're going to keep getting paid for the full year because they have full-time status. And they're going to rip on teachers for being fully paid for the year, but they get their summers off when these guys take off 9 months every other year. So I want to find out who the sponsors are on that bill. And I want to tip my cap to them because that's a great idea. One more, let's come back to, you mentioned civics education. I couldn't agree more that we could all, you know, improve our civic engagement and our lessons in civics. Anything specific about that bill that's worth mentioning?
I would just say that and we struggle back and forth. I currently serve on a school board, and it's a lot of it is mandated, right? Of like, this is what you have to teach. I think there are a lot of school districts who already teach civics because the kids have to pass the civics test in order to be able to graduate. So this is mandating even more what you should be teaching in that civics class and requiring it to be a half credit in order to graduate. And so I think that's what we see a lot in a lot of these bills is like, what can we tell school boards more what to do versus letting them decide on their own what's needed in their district.
Right. Instead of letting, you know, the experts have at this. Bryn, we've barely scratched the surface. This has been very enjoyable. I hope you'll come back again and give us occasional updates on the things the legislature is considering, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's been a great introduction to it, Bryn. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Have a great day. And when we come back, we are slated to talk with Congressman Mark Pocan. We've talked about the legislature coming back into session. Congress is going to do the same thing. But when Congress comes back into session, are we facing the prospect of a Speaker of the House, another Speaker of the House, being deposed? We'll talk about that and much more with the Congressman in just a bit. Live from Lake Wissota and across the Civic Media Radio Network, this is Up North News Radio. Back in a bit.
Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Dangerous winter weather stretching across much of the country, with more on the storm that stretched across most of the states. Here's ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano.
At least five fatalities in the storm zone. Falling trees killed two people near Atlanta, Georgia, including a 78-year-old man crushed while he was driving. And one person dead and two critically injured in Claremont, North Carolina. The state hammered by the brutal storm, parts of Winston-Salem submerged. In South Carolina, a twister wreaking havoc in the city of Bamberg. Piles of bricks littering the streets. Harriet Coker's roof is ruined.
There's still a lot of damage. It's going to be a long cleanup.
State of Iowa, where the presidential race officially kicks off next Monday, with caucuses getting snow, ice, and wind. The temperature expected to hover around zero on caucus day. Sources say that former President Donald Trump is insisting he will deliver part of the closing statements himself in his civil fraud case tomorrow. This is ABC News.
Eagle 1490.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New technology developed in Wisconsin could help doctors detect developmental disorders before a baby is born. The University of Wisconsin in Madison says it's currently focused on autism, ADHD, and other disorders that aren't usually diagnosed until later. Republicans say they'll shut down the federal government if they don't get a deal to shut down the border. Congressman Brian Stile on WISN-TV's Up Front.
We're fighting about whether or not we should be mopping up the mess on the floor. I say, turn the spigot off, and you turn the spigot off by actually ending the illegal immigration in the United States and securing the border.
Democrats note that lawmakers have passed on several opportunities to update immigration laws, but haven't. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Eagle 1490.
It is going to be cloudy with some light snow developing by late this afternoon. Our high today 30 with wind west becoming south at 5 to 10. More light snow tonight. We could get an inch or two, maybe a little more in a few spots by the time it ends late tonight. Our low 23. Tomorrow cloudy 27. More measurable snow is on the way Friday into Saturday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Eagle 1490 WLCX.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
From Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse. We'll be right back.
Again, lots of musical birthdays today, Donald Fagen being one of them as well. Hey, a couple of notes from Civic Media. Max Inc. Radio presents Live at the Lair, featuring a performance and interview with Blame It on Kane. That's coming up this Saturday, the 13th at 9 p.m. Blame It on Kane is an all-original rock band from Milwaukee. You'll want to be a part of that on Max Inc. Radio this weekend on Saturday. Also, I wanted to let you know that there's another new show weeknights at 8 o'clock across Civic Media called Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Plenty of entertainment and comedy and pop culture news. Again, every weeknight, 8 to 10, that's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's the musical form of entertainment. Then for those of us who are nerds about public policy, actually want America to operate on a good track, there's the entertainment of what is happening in the United States Congress. Fortunately, Congressman Mark Pocan can give us a clear-headed view of the debates, the dysfunction, and frankly, the danger that might accompany Congress coming back into town. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm sorry to refer to it as entertainment, but there are characters in that provide it. And there's so many ways to come at my first question, because again, there's still the threat of a government shutdown because they keep, kicking the can down the road in terms of a new federal budget and a spending plan and everything else. But I want to come at it this way. There are rumors that there's a deal now involving members of the Senate, but because it's still too similar to the deals that cost two people the speakership or a couple of people the speakership already, or the potential speakership, is Mike Johnson on thin ice now as speaker as well?
In a short way, yes. That's the problem. The current Republican majority is down even more seats. George Santos got kicked out. Kevin McCarthy left at the end of the year. Another Johnson, Bill Johnson, is going to be leaving for a university job January 21st. And Steve Scalise is out for stem cell treatment right now. So their majority is about as small of a majority as you could possibly have. And they still have Lauren Boebert shows up to work, and Marjorie Taylor Greene shows up to work, and Matt Gaetz shows up to work, and others like that. So, even when they make a negotiation, they negotiate a deal. And quite honestly, this deal is very close to the deal they already negotiated when they lifted the debt ceiling. They were given a couple extra things, so Mike Johnson go back to his caucus and say he got something. Doesn't matter. Some of these crazies think a government shutdown is a good thing and don't actually comprehend the consequences of that. So I think at the end of the day, because generally we come out of these all right, we'll be all right. But, I know Mike Johnson had to meet with his caucus, and I haven't seen a lot of reports yet from that. But, the fact that they don't understand the 101 of any political job is paying the bills beyond all the other laws that can come before us, which we're also not doing. This is a pretty big hit and miss that they keep coming up to bat. It's sitting on the tee, and they just can't hit the ball over and over and over.
No, they can't. And again, it always seems like they lose sight of the notion of, the 101 on this is you try to win elections so that you can serve. And there's just way too many people who they can't even conceive of serving, which involves compromises and passing things. All they want to do is win power, win elections. And if that means shutting down the government and hurting a lot of people so that they can win with their base, it's just such an oddball notion of what we used to refer to as public service that I do wonder. I'm not going to ask you to be an odds maker, but you did express some, I think, cautious optimism that in the end there won't be a shutdown.
I do, only because the consequences are pretty severe. I mean, you throw markets into disarray, interest rates will likely increase. We hurt the credit, the full faith and credit of the United States. I mean, there's a lot of ramifications. Federal employees, some are going to be furloughed. The contractors never catch up. So that's just a big dent to the economy. And the problem is some want that. They want something bad happening going into November. But I think most of the crazies aren't even that strategic. They just think they want to have that T-shirt. I went to Washington and I shut down government. That's what they're really looking for. And they don't understand what they don't understand. And, you know, a lot of the traditional Republicans that I've worked with for years, especially on Appropriations Committee, they're just silent because if they say anything, they can get booted or challenged in a primary. So there's a lot of things that build up to this point that make it very difficult for them to govern. But every time we've kind of dealt with this up to, you know, I remember we had a shutdown in my first session. There's another shutdown under Trump that he self-imposed. No one ever wins. There's never been a time where a shutdown ever, the people who cause it win. I'm hoping that that means we'll be able to somehow get out of this.
I'd like to believe you, but then there were the words from former President Trump just a couple days ago saying that he hopes there's a stock market crash between now and the presidential election. And again, this whole rooting for failure used to be so beyond the pale in American politics. And it's hard to believe that this is the norm right now by the Republican leading presidential contender.
Yeah, this is like a reality show for not just even Fox viewers, maybe Newsmax viewers, right, who enjoy this kind of stuff. The problem is, I mean, you know, most people, as you know, just want to, you know, pay their mortgage and have a family vacation, make sure they got health care for their families. This stuff is just going to have an impact on them that they don't even know is coming should it actually happen. And so, you know, our hope is we have a very, very light calendar this week because they can't actually pass substantial bills. Hopefully this gives them some time to work this out. We do have one more week. But then again, don't forget there's another deadline early February. But I think if they make a deal, hopefully it's for both of these deadlines that we have coming up.
Now, a big part of the disagreement deals with House Republicans wanting more done about immigration, asylum, the southern border. And yet, even as we hear that on the Senate side, there again may be the framework for an agreement, on the House side, you have Republicans looking to impeach the Homeland Security Secretary and making comments like, well, if we pass anything, that would give Biden a win, and we don't want to give Biden a win. And Senator Ron Johnson bragging over the holidays that he has prevented and would continue to prevent any kind of border agreement. It just feels like they've long since given up the game and made it very clear that they're both insisting on something new at the border and also admitting they don't really want anything fixed at the border because that's good politics for them.
Yeah, you've got it exactly right. In fact, I mean, Ron Johnson is like, you know, the Senate's Marjorie Taylor Greene in many ways, right? I mean, they're very parallel in how they think, and yet he has to serve in this more responsible body. I don't know how he does it. But when Donald Trump was president and there was a Republican majority in the House and a Republican majority in the Senate, they did nothing about the border. So this issue that honestly for decades has not been dealt with by Congress, no president can pass the sort of laws that are necessary. It's Congress that has to fix the system that's broken. Nothing has happened. When I first got here 11 years ago in 2013, there was a bill that came out of the Senate with 68 bipartisan votes, and then John Boehner didn't take it up. And since then it's been dead. That would have at least got us closer to having extra protections at the borders and a pathway to citizenship for aspiring Americans. But right now, this issue is just so politicized. They really don't want anything. They want to go down there and do photo op, like 60 of them did last week. Three of our Wisconsin delegation went down for that photo op. But if you actually did something, you'd take away probably the only issue they have to gripe about going into November. So, you know, the proof is in they never did anything when they had an opportunity with Donald Trump as president and a Republican House and Senate. So just don't believe the rhetoric. Yes, the border has problems and we need to have something besides asylum is the only legal way to get into this country. But we also need funding at the border. We do need extra protections in some areas. We do need a pathway to citizenship. None of these things are something Republicans actually want to get done.
You have made mention of something that I'd forgotten about until I think it was a week and a half ago. It came up on my Facebook page where it brings up, you know, anniversaries. This happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And it made mention of a column that I wrote 10 years ago about that very bill you're talking about that got 68 votes in the Senate.
Yeah.
That we could have fixed all of this, but House Republicans refused to take it up, refused to give it a vote, probably because they knew it would pass, and then you wouldn't have that problem anymore. And again, I'm not casting stones at anybody, but it seems to me that if any bill can get 68 votes in the Senate, I would just keep bringing back that thing again and again and again. And yet I'd forgotten all about it from 10 years ago. So let me ask it this way. Not that I don't remember the particulars anymore. I don't expect you to as well. But I mean, might that be a starting point, is to say, guys, let's try this approach again instead of reinventing the wheel?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, the issue has been politicized by Donald Trump, and now you can't talk anything rational around the border, right? That's why we're in the place we're in. But, you know, getting 68 votes in the Senate is about as miraculous as, you know, maybe actually having Santa Claus, you know, in your house delivering presents, right? I mean, there's just something about getting that kind of a bipartisan vote on a major piece of legislation that's so significant. And John Boehner let that party, that time, the Tea Party, say no. These days, the Tea Party are the moderates because of the MAGA Republicans, right? So it's even tougher to get this done. But I fundamentally believe this is about photo ops and not about policy. And that's why, you know, the Republicans all went down there to talk and complain. And I went last year down to El Paso to the border. And, you know, I've seen the problems. But we don't fund even the processing of people. We don't fund people to actually go to the courts to see if they should stay or not. You have to wait 7 years for a court appearance because federal government isn't funding it. Local communities like El Paso, it's the local government and nonprofits that are processing people, not the federal government. So those are all things I think that, you know, it's so much of a lie what they're actually presenting versus the reality. And, but, you know, there is a problem at the border. Absolutely. And Congress has to fix it. And it's not the prerogative of the president. They don't have that power.
So let me put it this way, and I'm sure it gets put to you this way as well. Yes, Republicans are posing for holy pictures. They've helped contribute to the chaos. So we almost never get a chance to have you and any other Democrats say, well, if you were in charge, if and when Democrats are back in charge across the board and could get the votes, you're acknowledging there is an issue down there. So what do we want to do about it?
Yeah, I think what you said, Pat, is what I say. You take that fundamental skeleton from the 2013 Congress that got 68 votes and modernize it for 2024. You know, there was something that had that sort of support in a more rational period of time that we should at least use as a foundation, that had a pathway to citizenship for people who are already in this country, had extra protections at the border. But right now, the only real way to come into this country because of the broken set of laws that Congress hasn't fixed is asylum. And many people aren't really here. They acknowledge for asylum, but it's the only way to get here. But then you have to wait 7 years to actually go through the legal process. Like, everything about the current process is wrong. And the president can't unilaterally change it. It takes Congress to pass laws. And the fact that, you know, you have to do it in a bipartisan way like we did in 2013 for it actually to become law. And for people like Ron Johnson who can't get their head around bipartisan, that's the problem. They just want their way. And it's really this photo op thing they want going into election year. And that's been the barrier for us to get anything done.
I've left us only a minute and I apologize for it. But on the other hand, I don't know that there's going to be a really long answer. Apart from everything we talked about in the next couple of months here, Mark, is there anything that you would like to get done that you think could get done?
Yeah, just keeping government open would be a good start, right? Not having that, you know, happen to the economy and to real people. And that's really the next, we've got a date next week. And then about 2 weeks later, we have another date early February that they split the appropriation bills. But, you know, last year was a year I'm not ever getting back, Pat. And none of us are, right? Who served here, we got as few bills done as we have in modern history. Yet we worked more to get less done than ever. Congress is pretty broken. 19 speaker votes show that. If we have more this year, we'll really show it. But we got to do something different. And, you know, we just need people to be very aware and reach out to your members of Congress, especially in a year like 2024.
And one can perhaps suppose that later this year, depending on how gerrymandering issues are treated in Wisconsin and elsewhere, with this narrow a majority, there could be a changing of the guard this November. But that is way off. We'll talk about that in the months to come. Congressman Mark Buchan, thank you so much. Appreciate the update. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Pat. Take care.
All right. You as well. Todd Alba from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show. We hope will join us coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian.
Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Eagle 1490 WLCX.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Eagle 1490 AM.
And again, Sean Colvin has a birthday today. She's 68. Saw her in concert a few weeks ago with Mary Chapin Carpenter, and of course her big song was about burning the house down after many, many years of troubles. Which takes us to Todd Alba here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, thank you, Pat. What an intro.
Tell you what, there's a little thought that goes into this bumper music. I ran out of time. I always get rather wordy with the congressman here. I see there is a call from Andrew in what I believe is Waukesha. It's not spelled out all the way, so it might be Waukegan. Yeah. But Andrew, you want to make a quick point of what you would have asked the congressman or what you want Congress to be working on?
Yeah, so two quick points. The first, quickest, I wish we would stop talking about this issue of immigration as if there are only positives. You know, a southeastern Wisconsin reporter went up to Barron County and reported back that she went into a coffee house and was told by the black Somali refugees she could not be in there because she was a woman. Okay, what I would ask the congressman is, why don't we ever consider this issue in terms of what's good for the Western Hemisphere, not just what's good for America? When these Central American countries are emptying out their populations so that American companies can get cheap workers, what is going to fill the vacuum in Central America? How will the cartels and the Chinese strategically move when we all of a sudden empty out those populations and bring them to America?
Okay. I get that. Thank you very much, Andrew. Appreciate the point. I think that's something that, again, we wouldn't have the time to get into now. And I would like to address it more specifically. And maybe I'll pick up on that point tomorrow as we get talking about D.C. But Todd, of course, Congress back in session next week, legislature getting back in session. Mm. And there's definitely all kinds of attitudes on the issues, shall we say.
I will very quickly address Andrew's call because I think it is a salient point in this way. I've been to Central America, to El Salvador 39 times over 25 plus years, and I will offer up El Salvador to take a look at. Over the last almost 5 years, they have a new president called Nayib Bukele, who has taken some what most people would call authoritarian or dictator steps, using the military to go in and kind of force their assembly, their Congress, to pass certain things. The Chinese have built a new library. The Chinese have built, or in the process of building, a new soccer stadium. But you know what? They've locked up almost all the gang members, and El Salvador has gone from the murder capital of the world to a handful of murders a day. It has been dramatic. Life has improved, and Salvadorans are the least amount of Salvadorans trying to seek entry into the U.S. in years. So Andrew has a point, but I would back up what Mark Pocan said, Congressman Pocan. It takes both Republicans and Democrats being willing to have U.S. dollars invested in uplifting these countries. I saw Ecuador right now this morning is in chaos right now. The gangs went over and took over a TV station, Pat. You're a former anchor. Can you imagine terrorists going into and taking over a TV station? We have to be willing to
do. They're called hedge fund managers, but that's, and consultants, and that's a point. Look, my my perspective comes from this. And he said, why are we pretending there's no negatives? Of course, there's negatives to every country that sends its citizens. There's negatives to the people that are living here now. My focus, however, has always been on the people who are hardworking, because I've been in and or my wife has been on mission trips to Central American countries, to African countries. And we've met during our time in the Caribbean, we've met migrant laborers from all over the world who are so much harder working than so many Americans I know. Frankly, if you told me you could give me 435, I picked the number just because it's how many are in Congress. I'm sure there are 435 El Salvadorans, I would trade right now for 435 people in the States right now and know which group would work harder, commit less crime, invest more in the country that adopted them. And that's the perspective I want to keep. Of course, there should be security and courts and vetting and everything else. But what you've got is people saying, well, let's throw out the baby with the bathwater, close the borders up entirely. And that's the worst possible thing, not just from a humanitarian standpoint, but frankly, from an economic standpoint as well.
No, don't get me wrong. I'm 100% in favor of migration. Of course, you and I both know one of the dirty secrets of Wisconsin is if you cut down on both legal and, let's be honest, undocumented immigration in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin ag economy would collapse. We have to have immigration. I'm all for it, a melting pot of America. I've said that on our show. But I'm just simply making the point that it takes both things. You have to invest in countries and foreign policy to make conditions better, because contrary to what Brian Stiles, congressman from Janesville, is saying, if you just put up a wall, people aren't going to stop coming. The American dream is still there, right?
It's just so shallow and unthoughtful. David in San Francisco, you have a quick point you want to make with us this morning as well?
You were just talking about immigration. I think that Jesus fellow was born on the run. They were going to kill him if he was even born. But the other issue is back in 1914, the U.S. Got suckered into limiting Congress to 435 members, and it has become so onerous. I think the original Constitution said we should have 30,000 people per congressman. Now it's like 800,000. Mm-hmm. And so there's no way that we can actually get taxation with representation. And the longer this goes on, the higher the number goes.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's the U.S. And so I would have loved to ask the congressman if he'd start putting some heat on this, because when you start looking, for example, at Lauren Boebert's district, she's got mountains, she's got ski areas, she's got mining, she's got the Air Force
Movie theaters.
Academy.
Yeah.
But there's no way that a congressman, she's got basically three quarters of the state of Colorado.
Yes.
And there's no way that a person could be able to give adequate representation to the, you know, to the people in the prairies, to the people in the mountains.
I couldn't agree more. So, and by the way, I want to say the same thing, David, about the U.S. Supreme Court. It has varied in size over the years and could grow to the number of districts, court districts that it administers as well. These are all things that we could do to reform government, make it smoother. These ideas are coming from you. They're coming from really intelligent radio hosts like Todd Alba. And these are the discussions we need to have. So, hey, Todd, thanks for playing along as well. I know we got a couple of late calls, and let's do this more often. Let's get you in here a little earlier in the morning. People clearly like talking to you. We'll generate some phone calls, and you know,
it's fun.
All right. So I'm sure you have a personal life that I would normally ask about, but we're going to set that aside for now.
It's fine. Little news. Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson, and maybe a guest appearance by Matt Flynn coming up at noon. Talking about the Trumpster and trying to get anonymity anyway.
Oh, God. Getting to court to say he has all-encompassing powers. It's just ridiculous. Yes. Thank you, Todd.
I couldn't believe it.
All right. Have a great day. Thanks to all of you for joining us as well. Back at it at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, live across the Civic Media Radio Network from here on Lake Wissota. Because
what Lacrosse and Western Wisconsin is talking about, you're soaring with the Eagle. Eagle 1490 WLCX. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.